Accession number 27497, Mr. Dieter Hahn, Reel 5. Now, so you went to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Now, what happened when you got to Los Angeles?
We were put on a big American troop transporter. I could remember the name of it for 2 or 3 years after, but I can't remember the name now. And we went down the coast of Central America, the Pacific, went through the Panama Canal, which was, for me at least, it was very exciting, because, I mean, we've heard about it at school, to actually be there. Free of charge, went through the Panama Canal, then halfway across we were told, you're not going to Germany, you're going to England. Now, something that I can remember while we were on this troop transporter, there were double wooden bunk beds for some, but I think I had to sleep in a hammock. But to get into a hammock is a work of art. I got in on one side and promptly fell out on the other side. But they were comfortable once you got in, once you were settled. They were very comfortable, I must say. And another thing that I remember, in the mess, well, can you call it mess room or mess, where we had our food, there were long tables from the side of the ship to the middle. No chairs, just sort of tables about, you know, chest high. Then there was a bit of an alleyway in the middle and the same on the other side. And we got our food in these trays with hollows in where you put your food, you know. And you put this tray on this table, and of course with the that was halfway across the Atlantic, and the Atlantic can be very wild and windy. And with the ship going sideways, you put your tray down, and you turn round to get a bottle of ketchup or salt from the table behind. By the time you turned back, your dinner had gone. It had shot to the other end of the table, and then you stood there waiting for it coming back. Of course, there was more food on the floor than on the tray and on the tables. It was hilarious, really.
So, anything else about this voyage? Just basically going to England?
Yeah. Halfway across, Young told us, you're not going to Germany, you're going to England.
How did you feel about being told this? I mean, you thought you were going back to Germany.
I think we were a bit annoyed. I think we were a bit annoyed.
Why? I mean,
well, to be told one thing and then, no, we thought we were going home.
So what happened there? Where did you go?
We landed at Liverpool. That would be in February.
That'd be like, yeah, that'd be
around about
February 1946.
Yeah. Landed in Liverpool, and we were taken to an old cotton mill at Oldham, which had been transferred, made into a POW camp. How long we were there? Not very long. Maybe a fortnight, if that. Back on a train, and we landed at Millenthorpe.
Is that where the camp was? And how did you...
Millenthorpe.
M-I-L...
N-T-H-O-R-P-E. which is just down the road here from Arnside.
Now, can you describe, that's the camp you were going to be in for a while. What was the camp like?
Well, wooden huts. 20, I think it was 22 hut. There was a washroom, mess hall.
Any defences? You know, the barbed wire and camp towers, that sort of thing?
No. I mean, it was after the war, so... I can't remember a thing how we were fed. Can't remember a thing about that. Not a thing.
Now, how big was the camp? How many prisoners were in it?
Well, there was an article in the West Berlin Gazette, which is the local paper, written by a former inmate who remembered it all. There was even a photograph. I've got it there. Oh, I don't know, maybe 500, something like that.
Now, what were you doing there?
The first job I had, or I and my mate had, I was sent to a farm, not very far away, and my job was to spread muck on a field, which I detested.
Why?
Well, muck smell, dirt.
So just working as a farm labourer, really?
Yeah.
Did the farmer treat you reasonably well? Or did he take advantage of you?
No, I don't think he took advantage. No.
Didn't overwork you then?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
How long were you doing this muck spreading?
Not very long, I don't think. When was this severe winter we had? Was it 47, was it?
That'd be the next winter, probably. But I think 46 was pretty bad as well.
They sent us out to shovel snow up on Shap, over Shap Fells. Which was a waste of time.
Off the roads?
In places with the snowdrifts, all you could see was the top of telegraph poles. We had to start digging down till we found the road. Well, we never cleared the thing. I mean, that road was the only main road between England and Scotland, the old A6, up over Shap Fells. Bob will tell you that. We did no good. What we did with we shoveled the snow on some lorries, I think. But what happened after that, where they took the snow, I forgot. Anyway, that was that.
Sounds like quite hard work.
Well, yeah, up to a point.
I mean, did you have extra uniform to keep you warm?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. We may have had some gloves or a scarf, but...
Any other farm jobs or jobs? What?
I remember they sent us out up into a valley up in the lakes called Kentmere to cut down bracken. What the purpose of that was, I have no idea. I have no idea. But we had to cut bracken with a scythe. What was that? What else did we do? And then, they sent my mate, Carl, and myself to work in Kendal. There was a big store and belonged to the Ministry of Works in those days. and the job was to go to the camps in the district, not POW camps, but camps for troops. I remember going to the to Lake Windermere, where they made the Sunderland flying boat, and we had to dismantle that, dismantle the theatre, get all the seats and the wooden props and all that sort of thing back to Kendal.
So you were in a salvage team?
Yeah, more or less, yeah. Of course, Kendal in those days was riddled with little yards and so on and so forth. But that's where I met my wife.
Now tell us that story, because that changed your life, didn't it?
Absolutely.
So how did you meet her?
My wife worked in Kendal in a bakery. And her grandma lived in a small cottage not far away from our warehouse, if you will. Yeah. And in the back there was an old yard. That's where we met. And this old yard's still there. Bit altered, granted, but the yard is still there. And I pass it now and again and look down and think, that's where it started.
And you got on with her straight away, did you?
Oh, yes.
And did she have any bother about you being German?
No. Nope.
Never thought of it?
Nope. Nothing whatsoever.
Did anyone object to you going out with her? Any of the local English lads or any of the Germans? I mean, did you meet any opposition from anybody?
Nope.
I mean, the war had been over a couple of years by then.
Oh, yeah. There was a... I mean, fraternisation was... I think it was still forbidden sort of thing. But we couldn't care less. And I remember there was a little paper shop at the corner of the street. And the owner, every morning, nearly every morning, he came, he knocked on the door, and he gave us, I don't think you remember them, little paper slippers, 5 woodbines in. Every morning he brought us these 5 woodbines. But of course he went, you know, so that nobody saw him. I remember that.
So what happened next then?
Well, we fell in love. Because I had to ask for permission to marry Marjorie, my wife, from my parents. I don't think her father was very impressed.
Because she was German.
And he was badly wounded in the First World War. But we got on in the end. No problem.
So when did you get married? Were you still a prisoner when you got married?
Yes. I think. When would that be? 47. I think it was 47. I still lived in the camp then because we didn't have anywhere to live.
Well, she came to the camp as well?
No.
You lived in the
camp? I lived there. She lived at home. She lived at home.
You were still working for this salvage team?
No.
What were you doing then?
Oh, God, when did it all start? And we worked for the Ministry of Agriculture. Something to do with potatoes. Harvesting potatoes and putting them into these heaps and then put soil over them. Something like that it was.
So you were doing that?
Yeah, we were doing that.
What was that like as a job?
All right. I enjoyed it. Started driving tractors. I quite enjoyed that, yeah. It was hard work at times, but nevertheless I enjoyed it.
So what happened next then?
Oh, wait a minute. Before that, I think I worked on a farm across the other side from here, on the other side of the bay. on a farm. Vaguely remember I had two Shire horses, which I thoroughly enjoyed. They were, because they were magnificent beasts. Two Shire horses. One was called Tommy and the other one was called Prince. I remember the names. What I had to do, well, take them out and sort of put a plough on, ploughing a field or going over with a roller or something like that. There was also a tractor, which I drove occasionally, which I quite enjoyed. What happened then?
How were you getting on with the other German prisoners?
All right.
Were there any factions between them, like the old Nazis and the non-Nazis and the couldn't be bothered and the rest of it?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I remember that in the campus there was somebody, a German, POW, who tried to brainwash us with democracy.
What do you mean?
Well, he tried to teach us democracy. I don't think you got very far.
He was German?
Oh, yes. Yeah. They tried to teach us the advantages of a democracy, and
you couldn't see him.
No, we couldn't see it. We couldn't see it.
So you still had sympathies for the German way of doing things?
I suppose, in a way. Yeah. I suppose, in a way.
So what happened next?
Where were we? Oh, that's these potatoes. Then I got married. One thing that sticks in my mind, a little story. When we were taken prisoner, we had to fill forms in. First for the Americans, then for the Red Cross, then we got here, and when he left America, and so on and so forth. And the question was always the same, first in English and then in German. Also, I learned English at school. It was only sort of pidgin English. So eventually I got to know the meaning of surname, Christian name, place and date of birth, married, single, so on and so forth. And after I was married and I went on the bus for the first time on my own, I didn't know how to ask for a return ticket. So I just stated my destination, wherever that was. And the conductor says, single. I says, no, married. I mean, how did I, as far as I was concerned, married meant, or single meant you were not married. I didn't know it had another meaning.
How was your English coming along?
Slowly. 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 And another word that confused me greatly was the word dead. For some reason or another, I knew what that meant. When we were going up Levensbrough, which is between Millenthorpe and Kendal, the first time I went up Levensbrough, there on the other side of the road, written in big white letters, dead slow, because we were approaching a traffic light. Puzzled me. Do you die if you go slow, or do you die a slow death, or what? And that wasn't the end of that confounded word, dead. Our foreman was a young lad. He was very keen on horse racing and betting. And he tried to teach me the finer points of horse racing and betting. So one day he persuaded me to back a horse. Sixpence each way it was. I gave him a shilling, which was a lot of money for me. 2 days later he came, he gave me 2 shillings or half a crown or whatever it was. Oh, I says, horse win. No, I says, was it that heat? Oh, horse dead with heat, whatever heat meant. No, it was a dead heat. Yes, you say horse dead. No, I eventually I got him to talk in the same pitch in English than I did. I know say horse die with heat, it was a dead heat. This got quite heated, this argument. And eventually he got fed up with me and he drew a line on the floor and he went dead heat. I was no wiser. I still thought the horse was dead.
Now, when did you leave the camp? I mean, how did you come to leave the camp?
I think we had a choice then, either of staying in England or going home. And we were officially released from the German army. I was married by then, so of course I decided to stay.
Do you know when this was? You were, you know, formally released. 1948, I presume.
At a guess, yes.
But you don't really remember.
I've got the a copy of the release paper.
And was it a big decision? I mean, your family were all out there, your sister, your mum and dad, you know.
Well, yes. I was in love with my wife. We were married.
You could have taken her back to Germany.
I suppose I could have done, but I didn't. Because I knew jolly well what the conditions were like in Germany.
Can you explain that a bit more? You mean?
Well, I mean, I knew that that it was more or less a complete wasteland. Wherever you went, bombed cities, destroyed houses, everything was just flattened. I knew what conditions were like. So I decided to stay.
Now, having, when you stopped being a prisoner in 1948, how did you get a job? And I just want to get you settled back into civilian life, you see, you know, in England, if you see. How did you get a job? What were your first jobs? Or what's your first job you remember?
I think one of my first jobs was to work for Libby's, the milk people at Millenthorpe.
What as?
Oh, all sorts of jobs. I was on the filling machine. I was cleaning big tanks out where the milk was stored for filling the cans. I was outside emptying wagons of empty milk cans.
Then did you do that for long?
Guessing, a couple of years.
And when did you settle into your career, or did you always go from job to job? What?
Well, the money, the pay wasn't very much. I mean, we were rather poor. I remember how much my weekly wage was. £4.10 and a penny. That was my weekly wage. We lived in a rented room in Kendal. We were poor. And I wanted a different job, better paid job. And that better paid job was working for Gilbert Jilks and Gordon in Kendal in the foundry. And it paid me just slightly £1 a week more than I was getting. Plus a bonus. We were rich.
It's an iron foundry or iron and steel foundry?
Yeah. It was a filthy job. It was dirty. But interesting.
And how long were you there?
Ooh. 2-3 years.
So right, so you don't go, you just move about from job to job, you don't have a career as such?
No, no.
Right. No. Now, did you ever meet any anti-German prejudice? That you could
One. That's when I was working here at Answer at the garage, and a young lady who lost her husband during the war, she approached me and she said, "You have killed my husband." And that was the only occasion where ever anybody has said anything to me. Nobody ever did.
Did you keep in touch with the other German, you know, ex? Because this is an area with a lot of prison camps around here, prison of war camps. Did you keep in touch with the other German POWs or any of them who stayed and married English girls?
Well, as I said, there were quite a few of us locally, to stay in touch.
On purpose. You haven't said that on the tape. Tell us on tape.
What?
You haven't said that on tape.
I haven't said that on
tape. In other words, what are you talking about? Is
when you said, did we keep in touch with other prisoners? Well, not on a regular basis, if you know what I mean. And we didn't sort of meet regularly, have a reunion, if you like. I mean, it was a case of meeting them by accident and having a bit of a chat about things. That's all.
So you didn't form an association or anything?
No.
Because I thought you said before when we were talking that you'd formed, that there were 10 of you who used to meet for an annual meal, and there was only two left.
Ah, yes. Maybe I gave you the wrong impression. That was a POW reunion organised by the Red Cross.
Ah, right. I see. That's what I was.
Sorry,
I miss.
I know what you mean.
It's wrong, not you. So I do apologize.
No, it was my fault then. I should have mentioned that. It was a POW reunion organised by the Red Cross. And it wasn't only German POWs, it was British as well.
I understand that, right. Yeah. And what were those dudes like?
Excellent. Made a lot of friends.
With British and German?
Well, British, yeah. British. Yeah.
And have you ever been back to Germany?
Yes, at one time we went back maybe every 2 years on a fortnight's holiday.
Would you go back and see your parents while they were alive?
Well, I stayed with my parents. Well, with my father died. I died. And I stayed with my mother in a big flat.
Did you ever regret, you know, when you went there, and of course it was rebuilt in the 1950s, 60s, did you ever regret having left?
No. I think by that time I'd settled here. One tends to think that the grass is always green on the other side, doesn't one? And I suppose in a way I thought that, yes, it would be better in Germany. But then when I came to their way of life, and I'd settled down here then. I was more used to the English way of life than to the German way of life. I wouldn't like to go back now, I don't think so.
Thank you very much.